How do people get started? Where do they get stuck? Does their family really follow along when they want to get organized? Wouldn't you love to peek behind the curtain and see how other people in the 100-day program are actually getting their home organized? Well, that's what we're going to be doing from now on the Wednesday new Organize 365 podcast. I would love to introduce you to your fellow Organize 365 members that are on this home organization journey with you. Let's see how they have gone from disorganized to organized. Jessica, I am so excited to have you on the Organize 365 podcast. And we were just talking before I hit record that you really only found me like 6 or 7 months ago. How did you find Organize 365?
Well, I found you through Attitude Magazine Online. That is an online resource for ADD and ADHD needs. And they send me notifications, frequent notifications of topics I might be interested in. And you were doing a webinar titled Everything in Its Place, ADHD Guide to Better Organizing. And so I made sure to sign up for that and to listen. And I'm so glad that I did, because the way that you taught and presented the information, it was really easy to follow. It wasn't so clinical that I got lost, but it also wasn't like talking down to me so much that I felt like, well, this is dumb. This isn't for me. This isn't going to work. But you taught in such a way that it intrigued me and made me interested in, I need to find out more about what she has to offer. And I found your website, and March Declutter Madness was starting, and the Warrior Mama Binder, I think there was a masterclass coming up with that, and all the podcasts, that just everything. I was like, this is what I need. And I just dove right in. And actually my family, we did March Declutter Madness, and the kids did such a great job at it and had such great attitudes. Like, okay, this, what she has to offer might really work for our family. Like, our kids are responding to this and we're responding to this. We need to check this out more and see if this is going to work for us.
That is amazing. Can you tell us about the people who live in your household? Like, who lives with you?
Yeah, so I have my husband and we have 4 kids and 1 cat. And about 2 years ago, we had 3 kids and 2 cats. So we've had some transitions in our life. Their ages are 3, 7, 11, and 12. And 2 of our children were adopted. And actually the last one who joined our family was adopted. And he came to our family when we weren't expecting him to come. What we expected to happen a year from that time, they were ready to have us bring him home. And so we went from the fall of 2017 to about the end of 2018, just trying to keep up with everything that was falling into our laps and just trying to keep up with all the expenses that having a child sooner than we planned on in our family coming, with all of the, we had a cat suddenly pass away. We had a child go into crisis mode. We had just thing after thing happen to when we got to January of 2019. Like, okay, we need to breathe. We need something in our life that's going to keep us not swimming. We need an anchor here.
Is that when you started, like, okay, so you had gotten through the trial and the life going crazy and you're like, okay, yeah. I need to reset. And you found me in March, but did you actually start getting organized more in that January timeframe?
Yeah. So in January was the time when we started like going into the mental aspect of we need to change. Something needs to change. But what? And I knew I wanted to stop being the brain dump for everyone. I wanted to stop being the only person who could find anything in the house. And that if I could stop being that brain dump, then I might have space in my brain for me. That needed attention, that we did not have to be in crisis mode anymore. We could get to a more functional living mode and not feel like every day was just waiting for the bottom to fall out.
Well, and it's obvious you were already on your organizing journey by the time you found me, because when you found me, you immediately started taking action. And usually it takes a lot of process and mental time before people are ready to take action. And you jumped into like, okay, this free thing and this free thing, and let's see what they do. And the kids jumped right on board, which meant that they'd been watching you at least for some amount of time. I have another question for you. Were you organized before that 18-month time frame, or do you find that you go through periods of time where you're organized and then fall out of organization again and then back into organization?
Yeah, so I think my personality is that I am always someone who people think is detail-oriented and organized. Mm-hmm. But I think I am more anxiety-driven than actually productive organization kind of set up there. And so like I would have, my mom would call me frequently. I hadn't lived in the house for like 14 years. And she would call me to ask where something was because she knew I would know where it was in her house. And so I've always had organization, but definitely not in the productive way that you have given it to me and that I've learned it from you.
But you definitely have organizational tendencies at least.
Yes, I think so. And that is, we had, actually our church would have twice a year, a big giveaway where everyone would declutter their homes and you would take it, and it wasn't a rummage sale or a yard sale. It was just free. Mm-hmm. Take it and it would be there for the community and for others to go through. So we quite regularly decluttered.
Okay.
Very good at decluttering. And when I took the home CEO quiz, I was on the, you know, organization phase. It's like, okay, we're decluttered. we're good at decluttering, but not organizing the home.
Okay, let's stop there. So no one's mentioned the quiz before on a Wednesday podcast.
Oh, okay.
So there is a quiz on the Organize 365 homepage. I talked about it like the month I made it, and then I keep forgetting to mention it. So maybe if you're listening, you want to go take it. But in there, I talk about decluttering leads to organizing, leads to productivity. And when you take this quiz, it gives you a bunch of information, like which phase of life are you in? What stage are you in? Accumulation, survival, things like that. So you were starting in organization. I think a lot of people are starting in decluttering. And I think the majority of mainstream media information that you hear about or people who talk about organizing really are talking about decluttering and not organizing. They're two completely different things. Mm-hmm. So when you found me in March, you had started back in January getting organized and you did what you normally do, which is probably declutter. So everybody was understanding the declutter. And then you heard this presentation I had about organizing, and then you stepped into the Organize 365 programs. So when was the first time you noticed something was organized that wasn't organized before? Not decluttered, but organized.
So for me, it was when somebody would stop by unexpectedly and I could just take the Sunday basket off the counter and put it into a cupboard and maybe pick up a few other things and open the door. And then left, I could find those items I had just hid. Because before, if I would hide things, I would like end up in the basement months later, be like, what's this bag of garbage doing down here? It's like, oh, I decluttered it when someone came over who never went through it. It's just a bunch of random odds and ends. But that's when I was like, okay, this is organized. I know what I have. I know where it is. And it's great. It's a completely different feeling than not knowing where anything in the house is.
And was the Sunday basket the first thing that you did?
So no, I went into All Access right away, right as the Spring Day program was starting. And so I wish I could have had time to get familiar with the Sunday basket before I did the 100 day program. Mm-hmm. But the way that our life was, I needed to be doing the home organization right away, as well as the Sunday basket. And so it took me a little longer to get the Sunday basket to click for me, I think because I did it that way. But yeah, I did them at the same time.
Okay. So You're getting organized. You'd already started decluttering. You jump into the 100 day, which is giving you the organization, and you're doing the Sunday basket. Okay, this is not a question that you were prepared for.
Okay.
But people are going to wonder, like, you just found me 6 months ago. You're in All Access. Your kids are on board. You're doing the Sunday basket. Are you spending only 15 minutes a day? Are you spending longer because this is your goal right now? Do you have any idea how much time per week you're spending on this getting organized project?
So in May, when I started, I was definitely doing just the 15 minutes a day. I was just doing the task of the day. And I really could just do the task of the day because when we were decluttered, the big decisions had already been made. But also, we were preparing to move at the time.
Oh my gosh.
It was really a choice of, is this something that I'm taking with me going away? And so there weren't so many really fatiguing decisions to make. They were just, okay, this is what's in our room. Do we want this in our room when we move? If it's a no, then it was leaving. And if it was a yes, then it stayed in the room. But
and yeah. When did you move? When did you end up moving?
We moved in July.
Okay. So you actually moved like almost at the end or at the end of the first round that you had signed up for the 100 days. And then you were in your new house when the second round started.
Yes.
Did that work well for you? Because that is the number one question we get when the next round starts. I'm going to move. Should I sign up before I move or when I get into the next house? Jessica, can you answer this for people?
I can. And actually, I think when it was one of the master classes or the planning day or a Facebook Live, I don't know when it was, but I asked that same question. just jump in. And I jumped in and we did it. And then I asked again, okay, I'm going to be at this point when I move. I'm going to be at this point in the program. What should I focus on? And so I was going to be done with the kitchen. I would be done with the master bedroom. And I asked, what should I focus on before I move? And you told me the hot mess or storage room.
Yep.
Get those done. Get those boxed how you want them to be boxed. Get the storage how you want it to be. And that way, when you move, they're just going to take that box you already
built,
and you're just going to put it right into your new storage. And that was really the best advice. That worked perfect. Well, it worked perfectly to the point that they didn't repack my box. Some of my boxes, the movers ended up repacking for me, and I couldn't find stuff. It's already done. Stop trying to
Right.
fill boxes.
Yeah, if you are going to move. So if you're listening, you're like, oh, wait, what'd she say? I'm moving. Like, you have been zoned out. Now you need to tune in on this part. If you're in All Access, then you get the 28 days from hot mess room to organized storage. It doesn't matter if you have a storage room, a garage, an attic, a spare bedroom, somewhere you're storing all this miscellaneous stuff. So instead of packing it in moving boxes, go buy the HDX shelving bins. You don't have to buy the shelving yet, but buy the bins and organize it before you move. First of all, your house looks better when it's on the market, or you could put it into storage while your house is on the market. But then when you get to your new house, your storage room is done. Like you don't have to do your storage room after you move. It's ironic, but the only room that's organized is your storage room when you move. And that gives you the time to then spend on the areas you want to do, like your kids' rooms and your room and the family room and the kitchen.
Yes, exactly. And we are a little bit different in that we came from a smaller home and moved to like more than twice the size than we had before.
Yeah, almost everyone's downsizing, right?
Yes.
You upsize the number of kids too.
Yeah, so we needed just a little bit more space. And so for us, my husband and I both have, we have minimalistic tendencies, but we're definitely not minimalistic. But both of us cannot stand flat surfaces being covered. Like as soon as a flat surface has stuff on it, we feel claustrophobic. We're like, no, it's the whole room is a mess. Mm-hmm. So our house always tended to be tidy and decluttered. It was just the paper. The paper was the big weakness for us and the biggest mess. And so before we moved, we finally unpacked or opened some of the boxes from a previous move and got all those papers, because it was papers that we hadn't gone through for 7 years mm-hmm. of, well, that was the last people. We don't want to move those with us this time. So let's go through those boxes of papers we haven't gone through yet. And it was really being able to know how to go through, how to sort a box, knowing what papers were actually keep and what which ones were not. And also having the, we were in the kids program. And so my oldest daughter got the memories binder.
And how old is your oldest daughter again? 12 or 13?
She's 12.
Okay.
And so she was able to take all the, you know, the big thing of papers that we had saved for her.
Yeah.
That were in a couple of binders and get it condensed to just the one binder. And so it had her, you know, kindergarten through sixth grade, everything she wanted right there in her binder. And we got rid of that whole big box and she has a binder left. And we're like, this is great. That is, paper is our biggest problem. That is what is in all of our storage boxes. We don't know what's there is paper.
And how are you kids liking the kids program? How many of them are doing it?
So 3 of them are doing it.
Wow.
And we have, I don't know if they, I don't know that 2 of them recognize that they're actually doing it, but they are doing it. And we, I have one child who loves the videos. The videos are just terrific and just will listen and then go and do. And then I have 2 who I will give the printables to and then tell them this is what we're going to do. And then they do it. And so it's really helpful because it the program's how it's set up. I can adjust it to each of my kids' learning styles and needs. But we have our Saturday routine now is the kids get up. They have their breakfast. They go do their, they go check their printed off paper of what they should be tidying up and they go do it. And all the machines are going. Everybody's laundry gets done that day. And we are done with our chores for the day before the morning's over. It takes so little time. And it's like before, we're not currently in game in sports, but if we were, we would be done in time to go to sports things.
Wow. And
it is just, it's the most wonderful day for us now because we're not like exerting all of our effort to try to get people to do things so that we can go have fun. We're, it's just part of the natural, this is what we do Saturday morning.
Okay. Now people are going to think I'm paying you. Like I am not paying Jessica.
No.
This is not a paid endorsement. What was Saturday like before you started the kids? Okay, what was Saturday like before you started the kids program? And how long did it take you to transition into where they were like, okay, it's the checklist? Like there had to have been some resistance.
There was. And we do have one child who it is a, it's just white noise for us. When there's complaints and when there's pushback, mm-hmm. we have to treat it like white noise. And so it does get done, and sometimes happily, sometimes not, but it does get done. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say like it's so easy, but I think my expectations are, not that I've lowered my expectations, but I'm giving them their mini apartments.
Yeah.
So when they tell me they're done and I go and open the door and check and I see like, well, it's not done to my standards, mm-hmm. I can let it go and I can, okay. But you know, if I come in and check and there's still things on the floor, then we're not going to, I have one child who wants to earn an app. Mm-hmm. And so in the app, whatever random time I go in her room and open the door, there needs to be nothing on the floor.
Okay.
Nothing meaning clothes. Clothes need to be in the laundry basket. That's her hardest thing is getting clothes into the basket. And so that's what we're working on with her. And so she does have a reward if she's able to get.
So is it really just managing your expectations, giving them a clearer picture of the expectations, and then creating a habit and a routine? It's kind of like teaching the kids to brush their teeth. Like it takes like 6 months to get them to actually do it without the and still you probably have to go, did you brush your teeth? And mm-hmm. you know, two times out of 10, they still haven't, and you're still reminding. But now it's like, no, when we brush our teeth, that means you do it for this amount of time, and there's a routine to it. So now we have a, well, it's this checklist and it's this routine versus kids constantly coming to you and then you thinking like, oh no, pick up your floor. Okay, but you pick up your clothes, but you do this, and you're constantly orchestrating it and coordinating it, whereas now they're doing a lot of it independently. Or is, am I putting words in your mouth?
No, I think that's exactly right. I think for what we did, and they, what month is it now? We're going into November now. And so we've been doing this since August. Mm-hmm. And I think it really was a month or so into it when it kind of clicked and it became a routine
for us. Like the Sunday basket. It probably took you a month to 6 weeks to get the Sunday basket to be a routine.
Yeah. So it became a routine. And then from then, it became more of identifying what were some of the children's weaknesses, what were mm-hmm. the hard habits to kind of change and work on. And each child is different. One child will want incentives. One child, I need to sit there and help them do it. And I have one child who will do everything Friday night because they want to wake up and do nothing on Saturday.
Yeah, they don't want to be told what to do. They want to be independent. But that's great because now they know exactly what that looks like. Mm-hmm. Versus, I'm that kind of kid. Like if my parents had to wake me up for school, I was in a bad mood the whole morning because I wanted to beat them. I wanted to be awake 5 minutes before they came in to wake me up. It's just, I'm an odd kind of kid. But before you have like a standard and a checklist, even if you make your own, doesn't have to be my program, you make your own, then it's like they say they're done and you scan and you're always going to see one more thing that can be done because no one's perfect, right? And so you'd be like, okay, great, but pick up your books or whatever. And so even though they had all of it, what they thought was all of it done, you're looking to see if there's anything else before they can go on to whatever. And so they were never able to be like, I got it all done on my own independently. Am I putting words in your mouth or would that be kind of accurate as well?
No, I think that's accurate as well. And we have different learning needs and abilities in our family. And so there's one child who's always, there's always going to be more that they can do. And they're always going to really push back that we have to remind them. Mm-hmm. It's a really delicate balance. So having the checklist, having the little list for them, say, okay, did you check your list? Okay. What did Lisa say to do?
And then you're not the bad person, right? I am. Yeah. I'm totally the bad person. I'm fine with that. There are kids all over the United States now on Saturday morning going, but I think most of them like me too.
Yes. Yeah.
You want to please the teacher, like even if they haven't met me. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's great. And I have one child who has really taken ownership of it being their mini apartment. So much to the fact that if I go in and move something while they're gone, because I'm in there, like, I'll put this away. You can't touch things without asking. Like, okay. They're like, no, I want this in my, so we've made the rule though, that in your mini apartment, your furniture has to stay where it is. You can move everything else wherever you want, but the furniture, an adult has to move. You have to ask them and then they will move it for you because they...
Well, of course, you're the landlord. So you're allowed to set standards for the apartment that they are getting for free. Exactly. So I think, you know, we're just creating all this new terminology, but it's fun terminology. Like it's fun terminology for kids to realize that they have ownership over a space and they will be more... They'll take ownership of it. They will take better respect of it because it is theirs. But of course, you as the parents and landowner can put forth like, okay, Lisa's the teacher and here are the things we're doing. But in our house, these are the standards or these are the three things that are not going to happen. That's why I'm careful in those videos not to say you have permission to do whatever you want. I often say, here are some suggestions. You need to go ask your parents.
Yes, exactly. And that's like, that has really helped us, just the terminology and the language that we can use. And it also gives them a language to talk back to us in that and express themselves with those same things and know that we understand what they're saying. Because a lot of times, especially with different needs in our family, it's really hard to express themselves and to say exactly what they're trying to say and for us to understand it. And so having the same vocabulary, the standards of, okay, this icon means this, and we both know that it means this.
Yeah, yeah. You had to put the clothes in the hamper. She did not say you could put them anywhere you want, like exactly. In the hamper or in the washing machine. Those are your choices.
Yes.
But it's going in something.
Yeah.
Okay, so the kids are getting on board. You've started organizing instead of decluttering. Mm-hmm. What has happened since March as you've started to work with us that you did not expect to happen?
I think the biggest thing was that I just really got myself back. I didn't understand that.
Okay. Everybody's like, wait, what? That's what everybody wants. How, you have four young children.
I do.
How did you get yourself back?
I did. I started this for my family. I started it for my children. Like these are skills they need. And I really love that you teach us that this is a learnable skill. Mm-hmm. They're like, okay, they can learn this. We can do this. Yeah. But at the end of the day, what it's really given me is that instead of living in this overwhelmed survival mode, I'm living more proactively. Wow. I am really the whole mindset of, can this wait till Sunday? I can use with my time, with my space, with my relationships, with my things. I can just look at them and be, okay, can this wait? Like, can whatever reaction I'm going to have, can this wait? Or do I need to just vomit this out right now? And just being able to declutter my mind and declutter my space, it's just, I'm just left with me and my thoughts and my wants. And I'm rediscovering. I'm really fun. Like, I'm fun to be with.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
Have more time now? Like, I mean, it's only been 7 months, but do you feel like you have more time?
I do. And honestly, I am a stay-at-home mom, and mm-hmm. I had time before. Like, I think if you think of time as just being able to sit and do nothing with, you know, whatever I wanted, I had that time. I had time to not be productive. But really, I was a year ago waking up at 4:30 in the morning so I could get everything done that I needed to get done for myself and for the day so I could be present when my kids woke up and get them going to school, be with the toddler, take a nap, kids come home, and then be present with them and getting them to do all the things they needed to do, getting them where they needed to go, get everybody to sleep, and then get the next day going. And so I've gotten my sleep back. I don't need to wake up at 4:30 in the morning anymore to get stuff done.
Okay, this is great. When are you getting up now?
I'm getting up at 6:30 because the kids school.
2 hours a day. You're getting 2 hours a day more sleep. Now, this is great. Like, everybody's like, I want more time to do stuff. I hadn't even thought about more time to sleep because I never gave up sleep. Like, I was like, we will not get a ton. I have always gotten enough sleep. That is amazing. That's 14 hours a week. Are you a happier person? You have to be.
I think I am. I think I'm happier. I don't know if my kids would say I'm happier.
What about your husband?
He's happier too, because we are the Sunday basket. He does the Sunday basket with me. We do planning together, and this is just the relationship we've always had. We've always had a partnership, and we've always had really great communication, and we're both introverts, so we both are the person we talk to. We don't talk to everybody. We talk to each other, so we know everything about each other and what's going on. But doing the Sunday basket together, and actually Monique in one of the Facebooks told us about Google Calendar and how to coordinate our calendars together. And so we're able to not only plan together, but we can plan self-care for each other. And we know, so instead of him coming home at the, you know, end of the day and seeing that I need something and him say, oh, you need to go, you know, why don't you go out and do this or that? And maybe I'm just done. I'm done. Mm-hmm. I can't do anything. I'll go sit in the room in the dark. That's what I'll do for my self-care, to where now we plan it so that we don't get to those overwhelmed points where we just can't do anything.
Okay. This just sounds way too perfect. Like, this just sounds like you just have this perfect life.
No, and it's not perfect, and it is not, it is what we explain to each other when we check in with how we, and we especially have a child that has a lot of needs, that when we check in with each other with how was it, we just say normal. It's like brushing our teeth. We don't remember the experience. It's not that it was great. It's not that it was a red letter day, but the normal of just having to survive and the normal of being overwhelmed and in crisis mode is just, it's where we're at. And so,
there's more there that you don't want to share publicly.
Yeah.
These are the positives. That stress has mm-hmm. not left, but you're getting more sleep. You're both getting more real self-care, not just yes. hiding in a dark room self-care. Your kids have better ideas of the expectations and are taking on ownership and more independence. Yes. Everything is getting better, but but your family day-to-day life and the everyday trials that we're all going through have not changed.
Correct.
But you've changed.
Yes.
And everything has gotten, maybe you just have more margin in your life now.
I think, and I really do think that what the organization has done for us has been able, not only are my husband and I on the same page, but I'm remembering a podcast that you did when you talked about some crisis time in your life mm-hmm. and you wished that you had given Greg more yeah. priority.
Yeah.
That's where we're at now. We're able to give each other priority. And it's because of the organization and the system that we have in place that we can give each other priority. And I think because I'm happier in my daily life and we're happier as a couple in our daily life, that everything else is, it's still chaotic. There's still those crisis moments and there's still the exasperation of some behaviors, but we're better able to meet them. And I am definitely more confident in my ability to meet them because of this.
Well, I could just cry. Like, it amazes me. We have never met each other. No. I've never, talked to you personally. And that a simple program, a simple series of programs and organizational tools could have that much impact on your family in 7 months is humbling to me. Like, it just amazes me because I know when I was where you are, when my kids were younger and we were dealing with some situations that I could not change, I was very hopeless and I didn't feel like I was in control of anything. And Greg and I were probably the furthest apart in our marriage that we've ever been. And now we are rekindled and back together. But I know so many families that don't make it through because there's no time mm-hmm. for the spouses to reconnect because everything seems like a crisis. And it is amazing to me that that's what you've gotten. Like, you and your spouse were already close, but now you have more quality time. You have more sleep and your children that are independent have more power to be independent and get recognition for that. Because so often when you have multiple children, you focus on the one that has the highest needs, and they all have needs. Mm-hmm. It seems like they're all getting their needs met now.
They are. And it really was kind of a brain shift that I had to do at one point because the kid who needs the most attention, we were getting so many services, just like making sure we have mm-hmm. everything we need to help him thrive, that when I started noticing that one of the other kids was complaining a lot about language arts time and not wanting to go to school because of language arts. And it's like, okay, I need to stop and listen. What's going on here? And we were able to get that child an IEP and the therapy that they needed, that if I hadn't stopped and just listened, like taken the complaints as like they're trying to communicate to me right now.
Right.
That we would have let that slide. And because of this brain shift too, like our other child, we're like, okay, you know what? You're doing really great, but you are struggling in this area. Do you want to have an educational evaluation too? Like we did this for the other one. And so, okay. And so we're trying to give everybody their best start other than trying to quiet the fire of
love. Yeah. What do you have less of now besides stuff? You'd already kind of decluttered before you met me. So what do you have less of?
We did. I really have less shame. Like, I didn't know I had shame until I had less of it.
Oh, that is so good.
Like,
it's so true. You don't realize what you're telling yourself until it's gone.
Exactly. Like, the way of thinking, the way of evaluating and planning, like all that the program teaches you, it just distills into all the other parts of your life. And like, I could go buy a pile of something, and before I would just think, oh, I just have negative talk about why that pile was there. Why wasn't I doing something about that? And then I graduated into telling myself a story about, well, it's not bothering me, but it's bothering my spouse. And, oh, I'm going to have to get that put away so that this doesn't upset him. And then talk to him, and it's not bothering him either. You know, so I'm just communicating that, just being able to get rid of that negative self-talk and to really be able to have the mindset of, can this wait? I can walk by, you know, all those boxes that have yet to be gone through. You know, like, you know what? They're not gone through, but I will get to that. And I know I'll get to that because I'm more proactive. And there's a season for that. And there's a time I'm going to set aside, and I'm going to do that. So my talk is more positive.
I love that.
Just giving myself more grace and more permission to let it wait.
That's awesome. Okay, so you've been doing this about 7 months, 6 or 7 months. This will air the beginning of December. So we're looking at the end of 2019. What is your next step now? Do you have something that this is the next step, or I want to accomplish this before the end of 2019, or like just what's next for you?
So for me, really, it is just, you've been so thought-provoking and asking those pink, you know, slash pockets, like, what do you want? What is your passion? I'm like, I don't know. I got to deal with all this stuff. The kids are my passion project, but it's like, okay, what is my passion project? I've been really self-reflective, and I've been talking to my husband, and we're looking at different avenues of maybe doing some graduate school or going into some birth work avenues that I've always wanted to do, but I haven't been able to because I've been needed at home. I haven't been able to give the time because that time was occupied by behaviors. And so now just really looking at what we've accomplished, looking at the systems we have in place and going, you know what? We can do this. If there's a crisis, we've got a team to help us with that crisis. And we've got the tools to go through that crisis. And I can commit to something else and invest more in myself now because I trust the system we have.
And that is amazing. What fields interest you for graduate school? What are some of the things you're thinking of?
So I am really interested in maternal health. And if I love birth work. I would love to be a doula and someone who helped to provide prenatal counsel and care. And so I'm looking into perhaps doing a degree in social work and becoming a prenatal and perinatal social worker in a hospital.
How cool is that?
Yeah, helping families in those in unexpected birth and fertility things, as well as in the joyous and positive.
Wow. And I forgot to ask you this. What do you wish you knew sooner before you?
So I wish I knew sooner just how life transforming it was going to be. Because if I did, even though it seems like I dove in and just, you know, bought everything right away, it did take a lot of thought and pondering. And I wish I knew sooner that I didn't need to waste all that brain power. Just do it.
Yeah. Do you think you've gotten the financial value back?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. My husband, he listened to the podcast with me of how to have your most productive year ever.
Yes.
And after that podcast, you said that two things got him on board. And one thing, and these were just from his own experiences, not just the podcast, but the first thing was that the best investment you can make is in yourself. Mm-hmm. And the second was that $1,000 for a bunch of binders is a lot of money. But $1,000 for learning a life skill is totally worth it.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's like what the program gives is so much more than, like, it is the organizational grad school. This is where you go and you can, you are launching all of us from here.
So I love it.
Totally
worth it. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. What advice would you give to someone who's just starting out? They're like, you know, once you make that investment, whether you sign up for $99 a month payment plan or you go all in and you spend $1,000 or $1,500 and then you do it and you're like, oh, am I going to be able to do it? Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just did that. What would you say to them right now?
I would say, just do it. Just do it and just start, because it really is. It's worth the investment. It's worth your time and it's worth whatever time you give it. All you're doing, I was only doing 15 minutes a day and it prepared us for our move. I was only doing 15 minutes a day and I had not only our move prepared, but when we moved, when we're unpacked, we were able to get things where they needed to be quicker because I'd already done it before. And so just getting in there, getting the 100-day program, and like I see on the Facebook a lot of questions about, you know, oh, this and that. Like, those questions just go away once you just start using your organizational muscles. You just start doing it and you figure it out. The decisions you have to make become easier. The, you know, giving yourself time becomes easier. And I mean, in no way, although my husband and I are, you know, we're doing the planning together and we're prioritizing each other, our date nights are still hit and miss because the behaviors we have and the kid we have, but we still make that time and we still honor that time. Like, okay, well, we're date night's not going to happen. What do you want to, how do you want to connect right now? You know? So things don't have to be Pinterest perfect in any aspect of your life or even in your relationships. It's just giving it that time and attention you can give it. Those habits will just create that better peace and that foundation for what it is you really want in your end product. What the goal you have is attainable and you will reach it. Just, it's the step by step.
Jessica, I cannot thank you enough. I mean, first of all, I just feel like you loved on me the entire episode.
I did. I do.
I will receive it. And I just thank you for your story. And again, I am totally humbled and amazed that I have been given this awesome opportunity to share with others how they can learn the skill of organization and the dramatic life change it could be when you start living an organized life. Like, it is how you get more time and more white space and more sleep and more everything. And I just want to be like, just do it. Just try it. Like, I promise it's going to work. Just try it. So hopefully if you don't listen to me, you'll listen to Jessica and get started on any piece, just a Sunday basket, or try the free week of the laundry room. See if that makes a difference. Have your spouse listen to a podcast, have them watch the masterclass that we have coming up. We always have a masterclass coming up. You can go to organize365.com/masterclass, or it's always on the homepage, or just take the quiz. Like, take the quiz. Find out where you are. See what your next step is. As long as you're moving forward and listening to the podcast and doing something, anything, you are getting more organized. You are taking the next step.
I think it would be interesting to, if you and your spouse took the quiz, if you both signed up or not.
Yeah. And also, Jessica, it would be interesting for you to go and take the quiz again and see where you are, because you will have a different response this time when you take the quiz. So some people have said, like, I took the quiz and then I did this and then I went back and took the quiz. And that was always my idea. Like, there are, I think,
I think there are like 42 different possible combinations that you will end up with. Like, it's not a simple quiz is all I have to say. It was very complicated for us to create and all the different answers and everything. But see, how have your organization muscles grown?
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to go do that right now.
All right. Thanks, Jessica.
Thank you so much.
Are you loving these new podcasts? Oh my gosh. I could talk to you guys forever, and I love talking to you actually in person. If you have a story and you would love to share it on the podcast, just go to organize365.com/Wednesday to apply.